Rebic, Rafa, tira, gol! Rafael Leão! Oggi segna Leão! La mia giornata è iniziata così!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, joined once again by Anthony Torgrew.
What's up guys, glad to be back. We got Maddie with us as well.
Yeah, excited for this week's episode. Been waiting for this one for, it seems like, 8 years.
8 years, yeah, three Musketeers. Not been on for a while, have we? But here we are together. The brightness on my face is not because of last night's performance, although that did bring a lot of joy to my face. It's more that the big light's not working, so I'm stuck with a desk lamp at the moment. So apologies for the bad lighting, but it will be fixed by next week, I'm sure. Because you can't even see the two shirts that I've put up from the 1980s, which is a real shame, because I thought that might get some attention, but never mind. This is how we're going to have to go ahead for this week, at least. Yeah, smiles on our faces, boys. I don't even know where... exactly. I don't even know where to begin with last night. I think it would be fair to say it was our first serious test of the season. Lazio at San Siro. We do have a favourable record against Lazio at home. We've lost one out of the last 31 games. But when you read a stat like that, all it does is make you think we're in trouble. And yet, we were never in trouble in this particular game. I said on Twitter after the game, I said it's really hard to pick a man of the match after a performance like that. But I think it was one of those evenings where we answered any doubters that there might have been, and everything went as well as possible.
Yeah, as far as man of the match goes, you could really make a top 11 list and they're all in first place. Like, everyone was fantastic, you know. Calabria was perfect. Romagnoli looked great in his return.
Yeah, he did.
Need to give him a lot of credit for that. Tomori, fantastic as usual. Teo looked good. Kessie looked great for the minutes that he got. Tonali was unstoppable.
That's his missed penalty, but...
Well, yes, okay, but... Actually, yeah. So I guess you could take man of the match away from him because he's the only one that made a mistake, as small as it might have been. Everyone else looked good. Florenzi, probably not. He wasn't bad, but you could tell he's still adapting to the system, whereas... As soon as Salamakers came on, you know, he knew what to do. He knew what the deal was. So, Maignan, I want to say he's fantastic, but I just still haven't seen him really get tested.
We'll see that on Wednesday.
Yeah, we will. And I'm very excited to get to that soon. But, he had one looping header from Ciro Mobley that he kind of had to, like, lean back and save, and that was nice. But besides that, everybody shot was...
But yeah.
Oh, is that... Okay. Whatever. They're all worthless players anyways. But... every of the shot was straight to him, you know. It was simple, so it looked easy. Slats in return scored a goal.
He looked old
there. I mean, he is, dude. He's almost
average. He braided his hair like a 15-year-old girl would, so he's just trying to cling on to that.
He looked fucking gross.
I don't know. I've seen some mixed reaction to that. Some people say I'm getting that next time I have a
really haircut. Didn't like that.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. But I didn't think that the ponytail looked great when he did that in the cup against Inter, you know, where he just
had
it sort of
awful. But that was my least favorite one.
The worst dreadful. Part is like it's just like greased back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it's braided. It's like, dude, you look like a rat. Please don't do that.
Okay.
From that, he scored.
I'm bringing out my nerd side, but not that much because I can't think of the name. But he looks like the character from the original Dragon Ball, not Dragon Ball Z. There was the like Kung Fu guy. I can't remember his name. He was like the first villain in the original Dragon Ball, but he had that braided hair. Looks just like
someone
it.
Will know him. In the
someone
comments.
Will know. Yeah, someone comment down below so I'm not alone here. It'll come to me in the middle of the podcast. I'll just scream it, but continue. Yeah.
And
I thought Liao looked fantastic.
Liao did, yeah. Happy for him. Very happy.
Liao, all the young guys just looked great. I'm excited. I hope that they can keep the performance up next weekend against Juve, so Juve stay down at one point. But other than that, I have zero complaints about. I wish Bakayoko would have gotten injured, but that's not much that we can control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like his fault.
I wish he wouldn't have been racially abused either, but that's Lazio for you. Come to expect
they
it,
never,
I guess.
The problem is that, and I hope that this changes now it's happened again, but they just never get the proper punishment. Basically, they should do something to really stamp down and, you know, either ban ban their away fans for, because you just know it's going to happen. It's so predictable now, and it should never, ever be predictable. That indicates a massive problem in society, and it does seem to be that football club more than others. The reasons for that are probably not like to be discussed now, but it was a shame, and I'm proud to see the club's response to it and to see Bakayoko's response to it. And I just hope that the authorities take some kind of action on it. And yeah, the injury to Bakayoko being the other sour note, really hope that's not too bad, because we could do with him in what is a challenging run of games, but I'm sure we'll find out more about that in due course. Nobody really knows how severe it is at the moment. But yeah,
it's not... Right when Kessier is trying to renew his contract, it's not ideal for him to be racially abused at home games with away fans.
That's a fair point. I haven't thought about that.
I don't know how much worse or better. I don't really hear much about France because I know he's connected with PSG. I don't hear much about England. Really, we only hear it in Spain and Italy, but kind of like separate from club, but that happened with Mexico, and they are not allowed to have fans at any of their home World Cup qualifier games.
It happened with a few England players in the game against Hungary, and it happened before, and it seems to happen with certain Eastern European countries. Some countries just are worse for it than others, and that indicates a problem outside of football. You know, it's a problem bigger than football in that case, but. That is a thing that I hadn't thought about, to be honest. But I don't know. Something needs to be done. You know, ban away fans, whatever it may be that gives them any kind of advantage from their fans, because they don't deserve it. And the club should have done more by this point as well to weed out those who are responsible for it and issue them with bans. But it doesn't happen, you know.
Lazio or Milan?
Lazio fans.
Okay.
But Milan should do it as well. If we've got the footage, we should name and shame them. But I think this is the kind of thing that has to be dealt with by that particular club. Revoke their memberships, revoke their fan cards, whatever it might be. But back onto the positives. Maignan, he didn't have too much to do, but once again, I was impressed with his command of the area and his distribution of the ball. Those are the two things that I would say I've been pleasantly, not pleasantly surprised by, but I think... You know, when you've got someone like Gigio, who is very tall and he's very vocal as a leader of the team, or was, and then you go to someone like Maignan, who's arriving from a different league and may take a bit of time to adapt, etc. He has done really well so far. Hasn't been massively tested in any of the games, but I think that's good, you know, because it eases him into it a little bit and he will gain in confidence. And, you know, we've got two big games coming up in Liverpool and Juve where we'll really find out about him. But the rest of the back four was sensational. I thought Theo looked lively going forward. He's fantastic at drawing those fouls around the halfway line when he cuts inside. And that allows us to camp in their half. Shouldn't undervalue those. Thought Calabria was really good. Tomori and Romagnoli deserves a mention. Stepped up in his first start of the season. Him and Tomori always look really good together.
I thought this was the first time that we saw them play together.
No, they played together. They played together towards the back end of last season. Because Kjær kept getting little muscle injuries and stuff. But they looked good together whenever they played. And that's now, I believe it's 7 clean sheets out of the last 8 games for us in the league, if you extend it to last season. So that is really good. And the one goal was the fluke looping header against Cagliari. So it's not like we're getting cut open at any point. Speaking of which, Kessier, I thought, penalty miss aside, I thought he had a really good performance. Mm-hmm. I've seen some baffling takes on social media about, you know, how he needs to stay humble after that. And he needs to think twice about his renewal and whether he should be taking penalties while he's got all this going through his head. I mean, come on. You know, this idea that players can't shut off what's going on regarding contract talks while they're playing an actual game of football is... And he was one of our most important players. The role that he plays is one that nobody else in the team can. And I thought we looked stronger for him yesterday. We pinned him on Luis Alberto and... did a fantastic job. You know, he was the one we needed to keep quiet along with Milinkovic-Savic, and they had nothing as a result. And I'm just full of praise for all the players in the team. But the one that everybody seems to be picking out is Sandro Tonali. Discuss.
Your internet broke up a little bit, but
yeah.
Discuss
Sandro Tonali, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just hoping you were still talking.
Yeah. He's been unbelievable. You can tell he's confident in the shirt, more so than last year. At one point during the game, the announcers were talking about how Pioli said that it actually benefited them that there was no fans in the stadium last year, so they wouldn't have gotten whistled by the home fans, which I think I said that last year as well. It kind of gave him some opportunity to grow. What I want to know is what Pioli is going to do when Bennacer is back at full health, because how do you bench Tonali when he's been playing this good? Or do you go to a three-man midfield or three-man central midfield?
I think those are really good questions. Yeah, I mean, that'd be my main concern as well, is like, what do you do when the main starters are back fully fit? The good news is, and we saw it with the starting lineup against Lazio, we're in three competitions, and if we continue to go far, then we're going to rotate, and everyone's going to get roughly equal minutes. And there really is no weak side, you know? Like, the top teams in the world have two world-class 11s, and they alternate players all the time. So it's at a point where we have two world-class midfield pairings, you know, and maybe not too full, because I wouldn't put Krunic up there or Bakayoko, but we definitely have three world-class midfielders, and I think they're all interchangeable with each other. Kessié, Tonali, and Bennacer, and, you know, whoever starts, great. Whoever comes off the bench, even better, because I know it's always going to be a good switch.
Quality depth is really important. We've talked about it multiple times, and Pioli has stressed the importance of having two players for each position. Now, obviously, when you're playing with two central midfielders, that essentially means four quality midfielders, and that's what we've now got. And, you know, it's a nice luxury to have been able to bring back Bakayoko off the bench and then see him get injured, but it's okay because we've got Bennacer to come on. You know, that is something that it feels like we've been lacking for a long time. When you think about some of the midfields that we were forced to put out there in days gone by, you know, with like Hakan playing as a regista and Jose Mauri out there and stuff, it feels like this squad has actually taken that jump in quality.
He just scored in his debut, by the way, Mauri for Kansas City.
He's in the MLS now?
Yeah. Yeah, I only knew because it was all over Twitter that he scored, and everyone's like, oh, Maldini let him go. Like, obviously it's a joke, but yeah.
Superb. Yeah, fair play to him. But no, it does seem like we've got that quality depth now, and that is going to stand us in really good stead, not just because we're going to have over 45 games this season and we're going to have some demanding stretches like the one that we're going through at the moment, but also because of the way that we play. You notice yesterday we were like a pack of rabid dogs. Like, we were proper going at them for the first 45 minutes. And the goal was the least we deserved. You know, we were all over them. But, you know, we were less than three full games into the season at that point. It's hard to keep up that intensity over the course of a 45, 46 game season. But the one way that you can try and help that is by having, you know, fresh legs and players that can do the same thing. So I think that is going to be important.
You look at the post game stats, and, you know, take it what you will. I know a lot of people dislike or really don't believe in the XG stat, but you look at the expected goals. Ours was like 3.7, and a penalty gives you 0.7 XG, so that's where that 0.7. But outside of the penalty, they expected us to get three goals, so we actually underperformed for what that stat says. And then Lazio's was only 0.3, so they actually didn't do anything on the ball, whereas we we were pushing everywhere.
So do they do that based on the stats of the game, or is that determined before the game?
No, it changes during the game. It's based on, like, the chances you create and take like, how well your shot is, stuff like that.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's an interesting stat. It's could be
subjective,
flawed,
isn't it?
Yeah.
But, I think that it shows more when it's in the extreme, like in this case, it shows it there. But then if an average game was like 2-1 to one team and the XG actually said it should have been 1-1, you don't really learn a lot from it in that case. But in this case, it's indicative of the fact that it was one-way traffic. We've spoken about how coming into this game, they had scored 9 goals in their first 2 games of the season, albeit against inferior opposition. But the thing that pleased me most was that we didn't even give them a sniff. So we were allowed to just go about our business in the final third. And once we got that goal, it released the pressure just a little bit, I think, because we were perhaps fearful of wasting chances and how that might bite us on the arse with the quality that Lazio have. What I will say is, you mentioned Rafael Leão earlier. That goal was everything that we want from him. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that he picked up the ball on the halfway line, went on that Jinkin run when he completely took Lucas Leiva out of the game. And Lucas Leiva hasn't been bad for Lazio. You know, I was sceptical of his signing, but he's been good for them, really. Just took him out of the game, had the presence of mind and the composure just to spread the ball out wide to Rebic, seeing he was in space. Then rather than bombing straight towards goal, he actually knew to hold his run that little bit, knowing he'd be unmarked on the penalty spot. Rebic found him and he tucked it away. And then segue on to Rebic, who I thought had a really good game. Technically, he's never going to be massively pleasing on the eye like Leão is. You know, he's a bit rough and ready, but his work rate is absolutely astounding. And he's shown once again that, I think anyway, that he's a better centre forward if we ever need him in an emergency than what Leão is. His vision is pretty damn good, and we saw that for the second goal that he laid on a plate for Zlatan. Brilliant pass across the edge of the 6-yard box for an easy tap in. I can't really find any fault with any of the players, and that is a damn good way to go into the next two games. I think the problem that Pioli definitely has now, when you look at the depth that we mentioned before, is it was obvious what our starting 11 was last season. And now we're in three competitions. How do you even begin to formulate what the lineup should be to face Liverpool? Do you throw Giroud straight in there after he's just come back from COVID? Or,
I start Giroud out the gate.
Giroud played in the Premier League for so long. He knows what it takes to win at Anfield. Zlatan looked old, and I know he's old. He's almost as old as you, Matty. But like, his knees look like after he celebrated against Lazio this weekend, he looked like he could barely get off the ground. And then he did some fucking ninja kick and tapped the ball away, and I was like, all right.
I thought he was going to break his knee when he did that, to be honest. Yeah. Like, each time he got tackled and went down, I was like, here we go. Like, get worried. I do get really worried.
And so, and then he does something like that, and you just think, never mind, he's actually just made of string.
I was talking to one of my buddies about this last night. I think Giroud needs to be our starter because Zlatan does not have 90 minutes in him 2 days a week. So... Hmm. Someone needs to be Champions League starter. Someone needs to be league starter.
Well, he only had like 30 minutes this game he scored seven.
Yeah, well, you know, a nice tap-in goal. You're talking shit about Ronaldo's tap-in goal, so
never know. So just looking at their record against Liverpool, Giroud has scored 8 goals against Liverpool and 16 total. And Zlatan's only played them 6 times, but he's only scored once, and that was in the Premier League. Okay, so it wasn't in the Champions League. He's lost to him 3 times in the Champions League, so I guess, yeah, maybe give it to Giroud. But I don't know. I think it'll be hard to convince Zlatan to take the bench unless he knows he's not a full fitness. And I think you could take either of them or bring either of them on and then do the opposite in the reverse. You know, however you want to do it, I don't care. I think they both eventually get 90 minutes, though.
And then Paul Pietro Pellegrini carries the drinks.
Yeah, I mean, I think he always knew that was in his job description when he signed on.
Yeah. I must admit, I thought that they'd... you can't do it, I suppose, because it was only 2-goal lead and football can change very quickly, but I did think he might throw him on in a few minutes of him last night, but it wasn't to be.
Bakayoko didn't get injured, maybe, because that would have been the additional sub, you know.
Yeah, he might have done. That was a nice segue onto our first, I think this is our first ever Champions League segment. Well, we hope you enjoyed that introduction as much as we did. So, yeah, this is background. For those of you who are listening on Spotify and whatnot, we have the Champions League stadium thing as the background. So, yeah, cutting edge editing here at Sempre Milan.
The Champions League stadium as if it's a real stadium.
Yeah, you know what I mean, though, with it being
it's,
like...
It's honestly more iconic than most.
Right,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
It just looks like the Allianz with the Champions League, you know?
Yeah.
You do need to make that in real life and just have the final there every year. Just build it in like Ukraine or something.
Somewhere neutral. No, you got to build it outside of Europe. That way it's always neutral. Build it in America.
As long as the bubble actually like glows purple, then I'm okay with it.
Think of the energy efficiency rating, though. That would be really...
Just make it all solar panels.
There we go. Look at us, a little committee. Architecture committee.
Yeah. So this is it anyway, boys. Our first Champions League game in 7 years, and also our first game against Liverpool in this competition that has not been a final, which is interesting, I suppose. But Wednesday night, I will be travelling anyway to Anfield to watch us in action against Jurgen Klopp's tricky Reds. I don't know how to feel about this. I mean, we've spoken about the group itself as a draw on paper before. It's pretty tough, you know. We're not favourites to get out of this group by any means. We're coming up against two seasoned Champions League teams in Atletico Madrid and Liverpool, but then also Porto, who we all mocked Juve for getting knocked out by. So, you know, it'd be poetic if it happened to us as well. But this is going to be a tough game. It's a baptism of fire, is this first game. I'm relishing it because I think that after Sunday we're going to go into it with some momentum, and also it's going to be a really good indicator of where we're at, you know, where our squad is in terms of competing against another top side. But then I'm also fearing that this might be a step to come too soon.
It definitely is a big step up. This was going to be like the hardest game best team we've played in a while. So I'm just looking at the Champions League schedule. It's Liverpool first, then Atletico, then Porto back-to-back, and then obviously, you know, it repeats in reverse order. So
right.
I'd rather get the two hard games out of the way first, like we're doing. Like you said, know where we're at, learn what we got to do, learn what we have, blah, blah, blah. And then the easy games against Porto, ideally win both those, and then know what we need to do to finish the group and potentially make it through. I think we might actually have best case scenario, at least in scheduling terms, as far as the order of it. So, but it's going to be tough, and honestly, I wouldn't expect a win. However, don't be shocked if it happens. I think we can.
I want a draw, or like a one. I mean, I don't want a loss, but if we lose, it can't be 4-0. It has to be 1-0, and we stay competitive. Because we have Juve this weekend, and if we just get completely destroyed, the team's confidence is just going to be gone.
Yeah.
And to me, that's most important because we're not winning the Champions League this season, so we have to get top four. And if we don't get top four, then we're fucked.
I agree with that.
Want to see us play competitive, but I don't think we are going to go out like we did against Lazio, where we try and control the game because it's really hard to control a game against Liverpool. I can't compliment them too much because I hate them more than any other team. There's maybe one other team, but
who is that?
Mexico.
Oh, well, right.
It's Inter or Juve.
No. I don't hate Inter as much as I hate Liverpool. That's because I know a lot of Liverpool fans and Liverpool fans around the Inter fans are just like quiet. At least my friends who are Inter fans, I don't know many.
You have
of them,
those?
So.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I don't have any Inter friends.
Really? Yeah. I have like one, maybe two.
I think I follow like three Inter accounts on Twitter, and that's only because I don't know. I just do for some reason.
Why you would choose to seek the company of those who are mentally disturbed, I don't know. But yeah, I tend to keep them at arm's length. So you hate Mexico more than Liverpool, but then Liverpool more than anyone else. That's quite an interesting one.
It's
managed
my logic.
To watch...
You shouldn't be surprised.
No, it's fine. I'm just glad it's on the record. I watched the first part of Liverpool against Leeds yesterday, and this is where my hatred comes in, because I hate Leeds more than any other team. And I was delighted to see Liverpool absolutely cut Leeds to shreds. However, I then realised that we've got to face that on Wednesday night. And it pains me to say this, but Leeds aren't a terrible team. You know, they did quite well last season, and they just went at Liverpool head on and said, okay, you play your way and we'll play ours. And Leeds got a lot of criticism last season for not adapting. And just as Maddie said, I hope we don't try and do the same thing. And we just say, nope, we're going to play exactly how we did against Lazio and how we did against Cagliari, and we're going to try and outscore you, because I don't think it will end well. Liverpool play actually a more advanced version of what we do, basically, with the pressing, the counter-attacking, as Klopp has brought there from German football. The problem is they have more quality to do it than what we do. So if you take out the common denominator, it suggests that we might lose. So we've got to be a bit streetwise. I think we need to play it almost like we did in that Man United away leg in the Europa League, where we just kind of wait for our moments. A draw would be a brilliant result. So as soon as that first whistle goes to start the game, we're already feeling pretty good, because we're not losing the game. So we need to try and stay in it for as long as we possibly can. And if we can nick one on the break, then that puts all the pressure back on them. I think it's going to be tough, though. It's going to be tough.
We'll probably play a more counter-heavy game plan, I think. But I disagree with that. Partially disagree with it. I don't think we need to sit back and be thrilled with the draw as soon as kickoff and just stick in it. I think we're a much bigger, better team than that, and we could push when we need to push. Obviously don't go guns blazing at them and hope for the best, because like you said, you're going to lose that 9 times out of 10 against this team. But, we're not slouches either, and I think we could have some offensive moments, and not worried.
Kind of brings me to this point. If we are going to be playing on the counterattack, having Ibra on the field is playing with 10 men. Because he's not going to get back and defend and then get all the way back in attack. He's slow.
He did actually. He played left back every game. He played left back last night at one point and won the ball back.
Peele even said that Zlatan prefers to cut deep and be a playmaker now, and we've seen that.
I don't think it's going to happen against Liverpool. They're fucking fast, and Ibra's fucking slow.
He has quick acceleration. His top speed may be slow, but he gets there pretty quick.
It depends what we want to do as well. Like if we want to like
4-cylinder turbo,
yeah, that's all you need.
You want a V8 or a 4-cylinder turbo?
modern day, I'll pick the 4-cylinder.
That's probably fair. That's a pretty bad comparison.
Yep, it's all good.
Sorry.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. Ibra V Van Dijk or Giroud V Van Dijk,
either one of those is tough. But I'm picking Ibra. I think Zlatan's a tougher guy, and Van Dijk's big, but so is Ibra, and Ibra's not going to just sit down to him. Like, I don't think Giroud either, but I don't think Giroud's as strong as Zlatan, and he's definitely not as fiery. And if Van Dijk's, pulling on the ponytail, like, Zlatan's throwing elbows, and that might be what we need,
He could pull back
actually,
on it.
Yeah. If I could see him elbow Van Dijk, it would be worth the loss.
Yeah, oh, definitely. It'd be worth the red card. Like, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be worth the admission fee, I think, for me. Starting 11, then. I mean, we kind of touched on it, but we've got to get these choices set in stone now. Obviously, it's going to be Maignan, obviously Calabria. And Tomori should be in there as well. It's just then whether you keep Romagnoli with the confidence that he's racked up from that last game, or whether you bring Kier back in. Yeah, I think
Romagnoli's always struggled in the bigger games, and this is definitely the bigger game. So.
To be fair, Lazio was a big game.
Was it, though?
He always seems to do well against Lazio.
They were the top attacking side in the league after two games.
Yeah, but I think everyone knew that was just inflated. I mean, that's... Like, if I go play a youth team in basketball, I'm probably putting up 70 goals or 70 buckets, but
probably the same height as them.
There you go. But yeah, that's just like, I don't know. They played nobody.
But they'll have more hair than AJ, so.
They will have more hair than me. Absolutely.
Then I would bring Kier back in because, He was rested. He's not mm-hmm. injured or anything. He was rested because he played a lot of minutes with Denmark, as he should as their captain. Yeah. So I would bring him back in and say, you know, go out, do it. This is the moment that we've all been fighting towards. And then the midfield, the headache is at the moment. I would definitely keep Salah Marcus in. Brahim Diaz has got to be the 10. You could then have some arguments about whether it should be Rebic or Liao on the left. I would probably stick with Liao. Just if we are going to be more counter-oriented, I think he's the guy who's going to be better running at his man in isolation, especially given how much Trent gets forward for them. You know, he might be able to exploit some pockets in behind. And then it's Ibra or Giroud, and I'm giving the nod to Zlatan. I think Giroud's only just returned to training today, which means that he'll have today to prepare and tomorrow. I don't think that his condition will necessarily be a problem. I think he'll still be fit, obviously. But just from a tactical point of view, how important will it be to have had Zlatan over the entire international break to, you know, to get into the groove and then just to throw Giroud straight out there? I don't know. Maybe that's overthinking it a little bit, but it's a good problem to have. And then, yeah, the midfield duo. I think Kessier starts again. And I think that you start Benacer.
Yeah, I think so too.
I know that that's tough. And I know people will be jumping in the comments, and rightly so, saying, how do you drop Tonali at the moment? Well, Tonali captained Italy under-21s twice over the international break and played, played obviously, from the start on Sunday. Did he play full 90? I think he did, didn't he?
No, Tonali came off. Wait, against Lazio?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got subbed out.
He gets subbed off. For Benacer?
Okay, right, yeah.
Yeah. No, Benacer came on for Bakayoko. Bakayoko came on for Tonali.
Yeah.
Yeah. But basically, he's got a lot of minutes under his legs. And also, he's young. And this is the kind of occasion where you might say, throw him out there. Let's see how he gets on. But it's the kind of occasion where I'm thinking his confidence is as high as it's ever been. So just hold that. Give his smile a go.
Also, I'd argue that Benacer is better defensively. And so in the 60th minute, if it's still 0-0, or if we need a goal, I'm throwing Tonali on for Benacer and hoping that we can do something.
This is the thing, is that we've got like a batch of substitutions now that can change a game. You know, if we line up with the 11 that we've just talked about and say 60 minutes, things aren't going our way, you know, we're 1-0 down or whatever. Okay, let's put Tonali on. Let's put Giroud up front with Ibrahimovic, and let's put Rebic up on as well. You know, we actually have subs that make a difference now, and it's not just going through the motions of let's throw us Castillejo on.
Well, and we saw it
against Lazio
God, that's so nice. We saw it when Ballatore was subbed on, and I still don't know where he was playing. Was he left wing? Was he the attacking mid? Like, what was he doing?
I think he was playing as a number 10, which, you know, I mean, he wasn't actually. He was clearly playing as a left wing back sort of thing, but he looked good, I thought, in the brief period that we saw him. I thought he looked good.
I was just confused, so I struggle to like actually rate how he did, because I just don't know where he was supposed to be and what he was doing. But I mean, nothing got past him, so I guess that's nice.
It's interesting as well, because we saw this last season when we were ahead in games, and Pioli had this knack of throwing Dalot on as like a sort of wide midfielder, and it actually worked on multiple occasions. Like, he looked good in that, and I think he likes having a strong ball carrier to work on the counter-attack, and Ballatore looks to be that. Like, when he's in possession, he doesn't let go of it easily. He will fight and he will chop away. And but yeah, I mean, obviously he isn't going to start at Anfield, but useful resource again to have off the bench. I guess we better do... Oh, in terms of Liverpool news, they're looking pretty okay, apart from Harvey Elliott, who's been starting games for their season. He's dislocated his ankle. Which is not good news for them. Obviously, wish him well in his recovery, etc., because it was a horror challenge. You know, he got taken out and his ankle was pointing the wrong way. It was not nice. So that leaves them with a bit of a hole in their midfield, but they're still a pretty good team, 1-11. So
Firmino's out as well, correct?
Yeah, it'd be him or Jota who plays, but it sounds like... might give the nod to Jota because Firmino's not 100% fit. But apart from that, they've got Salah and Mane either side. It'll probably be Thiago, Henderson, Fabinho in midfield, Robertson, Van Dijk, Matip maybe, and Trent, and then obviously Alisson in goal. So it's not a bad team. And with that, I'm going to be cautiously pessimistic. I'm not going to say we're going to get blown away like Leeds did yesterday or like other teams have by this Liverpool side. But I do think we'll be edged in the game. So I'm going to say 2-0 with both goals coming in the second half for Liverpool.
I'm going to be real controversial here. Oh, I'm going to go 3-1 for Milan.
Whoa.
What? How do you even come to that conclusion?
Views. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'm confident. How, like, it's hard to go against us in the form we're in, even if it is a team that won the Champions League fairly recently, you know.
If we were at San Siro, I might consider that. But we're at Anfield.
Our away record last season was better.
Yeah, I guess.
But I mean, don't compare Everton to Milan, please. Like,
no,
keep that shit in your
own
head.
They won at Anfield 20 years. 20 years.
Good for them. It's Everton.
It would be our first ever.
It's our first time playing there.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, stats is that. Yeah,
I'm gonna say.
What did you worse though, playing at home? I mean, the obvious instinct is to say you always want to play in front of your own fans. But then I think of the momentum that we went into that Arsenal Europa League tie with that time. It was like, we can't lose to Arsenal. You know, we're in a great run under Gattuso. Then we lost because the pressure got to us at home. I think this might be good for us to play away and just be like, yeah, there's no pressure on us. We'll see how we do.
Well, and the atmosphere at Anfield is a myth. It's not – they don't do anything, you know, like – whatever, dude.
That's true.
They walk holding hands. Get over it, you know? Like,
it's a fucking stadium full of shitheads. That's what it is. I'm going to say a 2-1 loss with we're going to take an early lead, and then Liverpool is going to score two quick goals late in the second half.
Oh,
honestly, I think my prediction would be the most surprising to me. I think both years are more realistic, but I'm sticking with it. We're winning.
Yeah, fair. I love that. Then we've got Juve, haven't we, before we record next? So this is an interesting one. After the back end of last season when we went to Turin and won 3-0 and took a huge step towards what we thought would be securing Champions League at home against Cagliari, and it didn't end up happening that way. But it was still nice to get our first ever win at the Allianz Stadium last season. Brahim scored, Rebic scored, Tonali scored. Those are three players that have certainly stood out so far this season already, so can't rule out a repeat. I'm in two minds about this Juventus game because part of me thinks we are playing them at a really good time. They've taken 1 point from their first three games. They lost to Napoli over the weekend, which will dent their confidence even more. But then the other part of me is thinking they're not going to stay this bad for this long, are they? And it would be very typical for them to get that first win against us.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is going to depend on how we do on Wednesday. I think if we look competitive on Wednesday and our players can keep their confidence up, I think we will win. I don't think that Juve has really conformed to Allegri's playing style. I don't know what his playing style is, but...
neither does he at the moment.
I know. And they just look like they can't do anything. You know, they have Weston McKennie in midfield.
He's fantastic. But besides that, they had a very depleted squad in the Napoli game.
Yeah,
but they also lost to Empoli, and then they drew to Udinese while they still had Ronaldo playing. So, I mean, they're not looking good. This is the second season where they've gone winless in their first three. The first time they did it was the 16-17 season, where they went on to win the Scudetto as early as, like, March. So, you know, there's still plenty of time for them to get back in it, and that was also under Allegri. However, this team is so much weaker than that team. That season, it was like crazy that they were dropping points early. This season, it's kind of like, here we go again, you know, after the Pirlo debacle. They're not as good as they once were. And it's going to take them a while to get back to that. However, they're still not a bad side. But this Serie A is so much stronger. So I think this is a very, very rocky start. This is going to be so much harder for them to overcome. That said, it's almost written in the stars that we're going to lose this game. But I don't think we will. I think if like Maddie said, if we push against Liverpool and the players keep their confidence high, you know, we make those few rotations, maybe start Tonali again, start Giroud or Zlatan, whoever didn't start against Liverpool, you know, just make those small rotations, keep everyone fresh. There's nothing that says we can't do it. And at the very least, I would expect a point. I don't think we're going to lose this game.
I don't.
Yeah, I feel like we got over that mental hurdle of, oh, here we go again. It's Juventus away last season.
Right.
With that massive win under pressure.
3 seasons in a row, right? We beat them 3 seasons in a row now? Or
yeah,
just two?
One of the games, yeah. So yeah. They beat us at home last season when we were at home, I mean. And then, but it's been a good exchange between Milan and Juve over the last 3 seasons, as you mentioned. And it feels like, you know, there's a bit more parity about it now. And if anything, we're the top dogs at the moment. So it'd be nice to go there and send another statement by winning again. And I think if we play like we did against Lazio. Yeah. Yeah. I think if we play like we did against Lazio, where we take their midfield out of the equation, because that is Juve's weak point, is their midfield, then they're going to be under a lot of pressure to try and keep us out. And they haven't been able to keep Empoli out. So, you know, how would they plan to keep us at bay?
Plus, they got to play Zenit at the midweek as well, you know. Who knows how they perform there?
Yeah. And after all that, I'm going to say we'll draw 1-1.
I'd take a draw.
Yeah, I'd be happy with a draw.
I think I would.
I'd rather draw a 0-0, though, because I don't want Iron Mike to lose any confidence.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how you concede, I think. Like, if it's a crappy one, like, oh, I really blundered it there, then yeah, that's bad. But if you just get beat by the ball of screamer, I mean, it is what it is.
A Weston McKennie header from the halfway line.
That wouldn't be too bad. Like, that's expected, you know.
Par for the course.
Yeah.
Yeah, so some reserved predictions there, then. I guess that's it. There's no... So, other things, I guess. Junior Messias, nobody knows where he is. We signed him on deadline day. He was in the stand. Basically, he's been training on his own since he arrived because his physical condition's that bad. What I can't get my head around is that he's done full pre-season. So I don't know how his condition's that bad, but anyway, it is what it is. We will see him soon. If he's, you know, makes it for the game on Wednesday night, I might see his...
Was he in the Champions League squad? I don't remember. Yeah, he was.
He is in the Champions League squad. So I might see his debut.
That's amazing. Dude hasn't even played a minute in Castillo.
Yeah, that is funny.
I mean, to be fair, Castillo was negotiating a move even after the window closed for us. Like, with the Russian League, it just fell through, so... I think that was where they're thinking, like, don't include a guy if we might get rid of him still, you know?
Yeah, and Conte's not been included either, but nor has Pellegrini. Now, I don't know what the rules are, because we talked about this last year, but if there is a serious injury, maybe we can call up an extra player. So if, like, one of Zlatan or Giroud went down, maybe we can. But otherwise, are we going to be left scrambling for striker cover again like we have been?
Well, we only have 6 games in Champions League this season, so it's all good.
Yeah, and then we get to adjust the squad for the knockout stages after January anyway. So that's all good.
There you go.
Question time then, boys, I suppose.
This is like record time.
Yeah, we're doing all right, aren't we? Chugging along nicely. It's mainly because I'm red hot. This light is like just blasting me in the face.
What's nice is your nose is creating a nice shadow on your face right here. So
I like Phineas and Ferb. whichever one it was, I can't remember.
Yeah, the one that's like triangular. Yeah.
Stefano Sartori. Has he gone public with the news yet? He has, hasn't he? Yeah, he posted it on Instagram. Congratulations to Stefano, got engaged to his girlfriend, now fiance, I guess, while on holiday. So everyone send you congratulations in the comments. Chuffed for him. He did it while in Italy as well, which I suppose only fake Italians can. But no. I played him. It was a lovely ring as well. He's done really well himself, and we'll get on for live reaction next time. But anyway, he asks, who surprised you the most in their evolution since the start of the season? Liao, Brahim, or Sandro Tonali?
Liao.
Yeah. Ooh, nice one.
Nice.
You two are...
Yeah, I think Tonali, when we signed him, everyone knew what he was going to do. You know, everyone knew he was going to grow into this world-class player, and now we're seeing it. Brahim, I would never say I was surprised, because I've been, you know, tooting this horn since before last season that he was going to be our top assist dude. So I think he's fantastic. Although this was his probably worst game. Ironically, and it still wasn't even bad. So it's got to be Liao for me.
I'm guessing Maddie has got similar justification, given that you said that he needs that same time.
I just think that Liao had hype since we signed him, what, three seasons ago? And he's done jack shit since. And he started the season super strong. And I'm very impressed. That's all.
I'm going to say Tonali. And my reasoning is we haven't seen this from him yet at Milan. We've seen Rafael Leão start both his seasons at Milan well. In particular last season, where I think he scored 6 goals up until Christmas. So to see him playing well to start a season, that doesn't surprise me. What we need from him is him to carry it on into the second part of the season. Brahim, I'm not massively surprised because he's stumbled upon the responsibility of being the starting playmaker. We all thought we were going to sign a replacement for Hakan. He was our replacement for Hakan, and now he's got that role all to himself. And given his record last season in terms of goal contributions in the minutes that he was given, most of them off the bench, I'm not surprised to see him doing well and pulling the strings this season. Tonali really struggled last season, if we're being honest, when we compare what he looks like now. There were various reasons for that we've talked about at length before. I didn't see this coming. I thought that he might gradually sort of grow into the role, you know, at the start of this season with more confidence, more playing time. But this has been near enough an explosion. He looks a completely different player. And we're benefiting for it so, so massively. And long may it continue. So I'm going with Tonali.
I think that Brahim Diaz needs a good performance against Liverpool. I think that if he has a bad performance, it can ruin the next couple of months.
Well, it's funny that, because the matchup that I'm thinking about is that Liverpool will probably play Fabinho at the base of the midfield, who's obviously quite tall, lanky, physical. I wonder if Brahim could actually get the better of him, because he's low centre of gravity, quick to turn, tricky. You know, he's not coming up against a destroyer type anchor man midfielder. So maybe he could get some joy in that respect, but we'll see. I'm not going to say that Brahim at 22 is going to get the better of Fabinho. But Luis Bahia asks, it's actually more of a statement, but we'll discuss it. He's hoping that the team's recent run of form will put pressure on Kessie to make a decision, as it appears we are less Presidente dependent this season so far. We just want players who want to be here. Now, that's an interesting point. We're only 3 games in. Yes, we've done well in 2 of the 3 games that Kessie has not started in. But then I thought that Lazio game showed exactly why he's so revered. I thought he was dominant in the midfield. Sometimes it's not the things that he does, it's the things that the other team don't do that make you realise how good he is. So he didn't catch the eye as much as Tonali when he was on the ball, you know, dancing all around the field. It was more that Lazio didn't get anything. He was a huge part of that. So I think it often works that way. But yeah, I mean, I hope it does put pressure on him to make a decision about his future, because maybe he is feeling more and more now like he doesn't have to carry the midfield on his own.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Like, it should put some pressure, you know. But then again, like Maddie mentioned, I don't know if this was before we started recording or right after it, the chance, the race chance for Bakayoko, like, it's not going to make a player want to renew when he's getting racially abused at home, you know? So, I mean, that could affect it. Obviously, that's Lazio. It's not our fans doing it. But if a big money offer from, say, Paris, you know, I'm not saying they're more or less likely to do that, but maybe he's like, greener pastures, I'm tired of hearing this shit in the stands. Like, let's get away from this. I wouldn't be shocked. Like, if he came out and said, I'm tired of being racially abused in Italy, that's why I'm leaving, you can't really blame him for doing it.
Yeah, could we argue with that? We'd have to look at the league and be like, shit, we need to do better.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I also think about it like, maybe they're at different points in their career and whatnot, but Bakayoko was desperate to come back. Mm-hmm. So like, maybe the club environment, as long as he feels loved by the club, then that always be attachment. But yeah, we talked about it last week about the Kessie situation, and it hasn't moved forward at all, really. I've got a feeling we're heading towards a sort of standoff where we've made our offer. They want to see what, as in Kessie and his agent, want to see what offers actually come in, and then we'll see. He'll make a decision. But I'm not losing any sleep over it at the moment, because everything's coming thick and fast. Brian Johnson asks, when Pioli was hired, I was worried about his track record of good starts and then hitting a wall. What's the difference about him now? Improvement, finally a legitimate squad, found his niche, all question marks.
Yeah, the difference is Zlatan. Yeah, but... I mean, he was pretty average when he came in. Obviously had to take over and rebuild after a disastrous Gianpaolo era, I guess you could call it. But we weren't looking great. And when Zlatan came in, like, that was when everything turned around, and we still finished sixth that season, or fifth that season, I think. I can't remember.
Fifth.
So it wasn't really until last season that we got to see things working. And maybe his tactics are great because we have better players now, and they were still as good before. But, you know, he's been on other teams as well with this similar style tactics and has had equal results to these. So, I mean, it's – I don't know. It's hard to really gauge where he's at. I mean, when you have a player like Zlatan at any age, like, it's it does –
We transform. Still did very good without Zlatan last season, though.
Yeah,
but it would we have if he never was on the team? I mean, he still was a presence there. He still goals. He still,
I think that his presence definitely changed the attitude of the club because we had a winner in the club. Mm-hmm. We haven't had that in 8 years.
And that's what I'm saying. And so, is it really fair to say Pioli's done this? I mean, it wouldn't be fair to say he hasn't done anything, but it really fair to say, like, yeah, he's good?
I mean, when he coached at Inter, he didn't coach a fucking shitty-ass squad. I mean, they're Inter, so they're somewhat shitty.
They weren't a great squad, but they had Mauro Icardi, and he dragged them through a lot of games.
Yeah,
and Ibra's not necessarily dragging us through games.
No, he certainly isn't at this point. We've learned to be able to function when he isn't available for whatever reasons, and that is really good. But there is definitely our Ibra's on-field performance is tip of the iceberg in terms of what he brings to the club.
There's a lot of effect, still, for sure.
Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that carries on after he's gone. And I think the way that we do that is by winning trophies. Like, we could do with winning something pretty quickly, so these players are like, yeah, okay, we can do this.
Yeah.
But as for Pioli, I've seen his managerial career described as sort of a sugar high, where he comes in and he gets a massive rush out of the players, and then it quickly fades and they go back to being kind of stale and predictable. I thought we were heading that way in the second half of last season. I thought we'd been figured out, and I thought we were going to miss out on the top four. But it didn't happen. And in answer to those, you know, potential reasons why, I think this is probably the best squad that he's coached, mm-hmm. probably. But he certainly got a lot out of last season's squad as well. Zlatan and other leaders within the team definitely have part of the credit for the run that we've been on and stuff. But then also, I think that tactically, Pioli has probably learned from his previous experiences to the extent that now he's the most versatile that he's ever been. We've seen him use several formations at Milan alone, you know, particularly in the early stages. He learned to change and tweak things to get the best out of the players that he had available. We saw that last season when we didn't have Ibra available, so we played Rebic and Liao up top. Just little things like that make all the difference. Long story short, I think it's a combination of different factors. And long may Pioli's reign continue the way things are. One more question then, and I've lost the list of questions. Okay.
I don't know if you guys could hear that, but there's construction outside, so I apologize.
No problem. So CK asks, during the game, we play in a sort of 3-4-1-2 formation. Looking at our right winger, we use more defensive wingers. Keeping all that in mind, do we actually need to sign a new right winger?
Yes.
Yeah, I still think that's a good move, you know, going forward. Like, it's working now without one, but if we could sign like a top right winger, say next summer or something, like if everything goes smoothly this season, we qualify for Champions League again, why wouldn't we?
I think Pioli might want to start a game a certain way. If it were a big game against a team that, you know, could cause us some problems, then starting with a more defensive right winger to keep the balance of the team is not a problem at all. But where we need that right winger to be more of a goal threat is when we need to unlock teams. You know, like Cagliari at home last season, which I keep thinking of because it's the most frustrating game I've ever watched. You know, all we needed was one goal and we would have been in the Champions League without all the drama of Atalanta. But we just could not break down that team. And that was a theme throughout the second half of last season. That makes me think that still eventually we're going to come up against teams that sit deep and do it effectively. You know, we're not going to play Cagliari like that every single time. And those are the games where we could still do with a right winger just to shift the tendency of the attack more over to the right, because we're very left side heavy at the moment with Teo, with Liao, with Rebic, with Brahim even drifting out more so over to that side. So if the right opportunity comes up to add a genuine goal threat on the right wing, I mean, people are absolutely slating Berardi as a transfer link, and I don't think he's worth over 30 million euros or anything like what's been reported. However, he got 25 goal contributions in 30 games last season, you know, 17 goals, 8 assists. And that was in a Sassuolo side that were being consistent. If you put him in our team with the way that we play, could he do better than that? Potentially. That was my argument with Chiesa, is that if you want a top talent, you pay the money. And if you're scoring 10 goals for Fiorentina, then you'll probably score more for us. You know, that's just the way it works. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, the names will come out, no doubt. I expect us to go back in for Roman Ferver in January, and whether he's the right guy, we can have that debate nearer the time. But I would still go for a right winger. Long story short.
Same.
Great. Well, keep it under an hour, shall we? Boys, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. Find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher. It's on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. I've been joined by Anthony Torgrew.
Yep, thanks so much, guys. Voting has closed as of today, so thank you to everyone who did vote. Appreciate it.
In the FCAs, that is just...
Yeah, sorry.
I'm excited for Wednesday, kind of. I'm also a little nervous. I bet, Oliver, you're just itching to get there. Make sure you take a piss, like, all over the bathroom for me, just because, you know.
Just miss the
door. Not all over the seats, or, like, the pitch, or...
Well, you'd probably get put on the sexual offenders list if you did that. I'm looking out for your well-being as well. If you want to take on center field, I'll pay for your ticket. but yeah, it's been a great one.
Yeah, I am actually, as has been alluded to, I am actually going to the game on Wednesday night, so I'll probably post some videos and whatnot from the game. So yeah, check out our Twitter feed and stuff during the game. And as AJ said, thank you to everyone who voted for us in the Football Content Awards. Two games to recap next time, two huge games upcoming for us. And we will catch you in a week's time.
Ecco l'Anteante in area di rigore, Anteante, Ibra, gol! Vediamo se è buono, ce lo da buono.